If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
The story of the day is obviously that the ANC as well as IEC and Mkhonto Wesizwe were at the electoral court today in Bloemfontein, and of course at stake is whether the MK party will be on the ballot. On the line with us is MK party spokesperson Nhlamulo Ndlela. Thank you so much, Mr. Ndlela, and welcome to Point of View.
Thank you, Pamela, and good evening to your listeners.
So obviously a judgment is reserved. I just want to find out from you, we know really in a nutshell why you were at court today watching those proceedings and hoping that you will remain on the ballot. As the MK party, well, one of the things that you are bringing up here is a contestation of the legacy of the MK party, is it not?
That's correct. One of the elements of key factors of this case is that.
And perhaps, obviously, we'll see what the court has to say. If this ruling goes against the MK party, is there another option, an alternative for you as the MK party? Or have you decided as a movement, as a party, that you will reconsider renaming this particular party?
So, look, the reality is the following, and let's start on the basis of this. The MK military wing was disbanded already in 93. The MKMVA was disbanded by the Cyril Ramaphosa-led government. And the MKMVA, by the way, was a military veteran. So that alone just shows you the attitude towards people that fought for our liberation. So what we find strange is that upon President Zuma announcing that he's going to be voting for Mkhonto Wesizwe and campaigning for Mkhonto Wesizwe, all of a sudden ANC wakes up from their slumber to now lodge cases against Mkhonto Wesizwe. So effectively, for the past 3 years, give or take 3.5 years, we have had to work underground because we expected such from the likes of an ANC. So what I'm getting at here is there's a lot of planning that went into this underground. We had to ensure that we're super discreet until the announcement where President Zuma announced that he'd be campaigning voting for NK. And an ideology of the people, because we're civil-led, civil-driven organization, and as opposed to a politicism framework kind of organization that is detached from the people, we're a part of the people. You cannot stop the will of the people. So even with this court case, which we believe we will win, we're very confident about that, because if you're listening to those proceedings, you would have picked up that ANC quite honestly doesn't have a case. It's flimsy. For them to request a condemnation now at this point, when we're heading for elections and when they had an opportunity, after we were gazetted twice, by the way. And that's something that people don't realize. You're supposed to be gazetted for 14 days. Twice we were gazetted, which is about approximately 28 days, where people would come with does ANC now want to wake up and slumber and then lodge a case in January the following year against us? So that just shows you that if this ANC was performing, why do they go and try and destabilize the will of the people? If they truly want to liberate the people, they should give them the freedom to vote for whatever party they want to vote for. But the problem is that they realize that their time is up. This is now a phase of inevitability in these elections. And, they're truly concerned that they're going to lose power, because these are people, we know, they're power mongers, as is the case, and what they're trying to do right now is trying to destabilize us by closing bank accounts and so on and so forth. So, this is the ANC we're dealing with. Now, do we have a way forward, if you want to speak hypothetically?
Yes.
We can talk hypothetically. But again, why would I want to give away my strategy to our adversary now?
Gotcha.
I wouldn't want to do that.
That's fair, of course.
What got us here successfully is the fact that we're working underground and we're discreet in all our tactics and strategies.
Okay.
But you know, that's a conversation I don't believe we'll even have, sure. especially with what was presented today, which is a flimsy case.
Except let's just say, and I know you don't want to give us your strategy, if you do lose, the people who would have erred in this matter would have been the IEC. Have you then considered that and your recourse for that? Because it's you know, yes, I know that the fight almost seems like it's an ANC-MK party fight. But technically, the people then who would have misinterpreted what they needed to do would be the IEC. In that case, what then is your recourse in that regard?
Well, no, I mean, here's another scenario, maybe some insight mm-hmm. to the listeners in yourself that you may not be aware of. We followed and mirrored the IEC process. And I know that we are a third respondent in the case. Mm-hmm. We understand yes, that yes. IEC being the second, yes. the chief electoral officer mm-hmm. himself being the first. Mm-hmm. Now, are you aware that there's five other parties that went through a similar registration process as us, the mm-hmm. same registration process as us, and that received the same letter
yes.
Of approval to register us? Five other parties. Why is the ANC taking up a case only against us and not the other five parties and join them into this matter? That alone is telling. So that's just to give you some insight mm-hmm. in terms of mm-hmm. Certain other elements of what is going on here and what the ANC in desperation is trying to achieve, which we don't fail.
So some of your members alluded to a referendum as being in the part of your strategy going forward. Do you want to expand on that?
No, I saw a video that mm-hmm. Was a person that was purported to be a leader
yes.
and a member.
Yes.
People's views are people's views. Remember, MK is a people's party.
Yes.
If the people feel that there ought to be a referendum, then so be it. You know, we're here for the people, we're driven for the people, and that's why when we launched our people's mandate, which is now being boringly referred to as a manifesto, you know, it's going to be organic and it's going to have people's views. So President Zuma soon is going to be announcing the date and we're going to be talking about, you know, a consultative approach with our final draft people's mandate, at which we would then finalize and talk about when we launch it.
All right.
So that's where we're at.
Sure. I know I've got to let you go because you've got another interview, but I appreciate you talking to us, MK Party spokesperson Nhlamulo Ndlela. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Mnyela. Thanks.
Listening into that conversation is ANC Head of Elections, Mdumiseni Mduli. Thank you so much, Mr. Mduli, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you and the listeners at home, and much appreciated for hosting us.
And as I said, you know, we know judgment is reserved, so we don't really have an outcome. But I wonder, you know, looking at where we are right now and what we don't know what the outcome would be, looking also at the tensions this entire scenario has brought forward, the ANC is well known you know, over years for its ability to lead and negotiate. We know that. In this case, would there be a possibility or at least a consideration for a possible solution with the MK party rather than relying on the courts to settle this matter?
You know, let me just, in answering your question, just start a little bit back. You know, the ANC has evolved to be a major political force, a very dominant force in this country, not only over the past three decades of our liberation, even before that, which has impacted in many ways in almost all facets of our lives as South Africans. And I'm giving you this background to explain why political parties, old and new, will always have to find a way of appropriating to themselves either the symbols, the leadership, or the policies of the ANC. You may very well know that at some point the DA led the campaign in this country about them being the ones who are representing, who are the best representative of what they call Nelson Mandela values, which was an appropriation of one of the outstanding leaders of our movement to themselves. The formation of the EFF recently, not so long ago, 10 years or so ago, using also the outcome of the then ANC Youth League National Congress, the slogan about economic freedom in our lifetime, and now MK. The point that I'm explaining is that because of the dominance of the ANC, it is almost impossible for new political parties to evolve and enjoy legitimacy in the eyes of our people without appropriating in one form or another something that has got to do with the ANC. So for us to go to court today and next week in KwaZulu-Natal in Pietermaritzburg High Court, it's not a technical question, it's a political question. That why do you leave the ANC when you still believe that your future will not be successful without you appropriating to yourselves some of the symbols, the colors, the history and the heritage of our movement? So for us, that is a political question. Now, coming to what you are saying, whether or not there could be any settlement of one form or another with the MK party on this question, the best appropriate settlement on this matter is for them to start their new journey, defining themselves as a new entity in our country and without appropriating to themselves any of our heritage and symbols as the African National Congress. Because when they do so, it is not only about promoting their own self-serving agenda, but it's equally to undermine the standing of the African National Congress in society.
And that's why I say, you know, we obviously don't have a judgment, so all of this is hypothetical. But I'm asking this based, and I know what you're saying, it's a political response, but I'm asking based on what's possibly at stake here. Asking whether, is there room for some sort of negotiation politically? Because, I mean, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario, I'm not sure, as a movement that leads this country, you would want to welcome a disgruntled constituency which has already told us that they insist that if they're not recognized, they've got signatures, they went to the IEC, they've gone through the process, we are going to have to pay for the decision that may come out of this court. So that's why I asked the question whether that being considered, could there possibly be another way to resolve this?
I think essentially what you are saying, for instance, as part of what they are saying they will do in case the court does not rule in their favor, that on its own justifies the steadfastness of the African National Congress, that at no way in which we can surrender any of our heritage and symbols to an entity that does not even advance the best interest of the South African people. Because all of us in this country are supposed to accept judicial decision or court rulings to the extent that we can appeal to the levels above up until the Constitutional Court if the room is available. But for anybody to take a position like that and say, if this thing does not go according to my own aspirations, there's going to be blood on the floor. That fundamentally explains that that is not the kind of an outfit or an organization which can enter into some reasonable, legitimate compromise with the African National Congress. If we were to take that route, mm-hmm. I dare say we would be compromising who we are and what we represent as the African National Congress, because it will effectively mean that we are surrendering a bit or a part of us to a network of an organization that essentially is not going to be in any way advancing the interest of our people in line with the constitutional imperatives of this country. And that is why I don't think that the room may be to say, mm-hmm. well, while we're going to the case, we're not allowing you to go ahead and become what you claim to be, which you are not, and which they will obviously, as they say themselves, will not be able to live up to the values of what Umkhonto we-Sizwe was about right from its inception up to the point where the ANC decided now that we've gained our freedom, there's no need for us to sustain the armed struggle.
So in this instance, right, whatever the outcome, if this does not go in your favour, the people that would have erred, or in their favour, the entity that would have erred is the IEC, their interpretation of what should be the process. It's not the MK party, because they are the body that is supposed to manage that process. So the fight actually shouldn't be about ANC and MK party. When we find that the IEC has erred, what's your recourse there?
We are not. We are neither in the fight with MK nor yes. with the IEC. In fact, when we went to court to challenge the decision of the IEC, it so happened that MK becomes an interested party on the basis that they became beneficiaries of the decision of the wrong decision, in our view, taken by the IEC.
Mm-hmm.
Politically, that decision is wrong. Technically, the court might still arrive at the conclusion that the decision was correct in terms of the IEC having followed the process, and maybe the ANC not adequately adhering to what is required in terms of the law to object to that decision.
Mm.
But politically, we are very certain and very very clear as the ANC that it would be wrong for us to accept a conclusion that an organization of the kind that we're talking about can appropriate to themselves some of our symbols and the heritage. And of course, if the court rules not in our favor and the rooms remains available for us to escalate the matter to the highest court of the land, I don't think the ANC would be reluctant to do so, because we are driven by the conviction here and the correctness of our position as a movement that this is the least of parties that can take any of our part and appropriate to themselves in the current South African dispensation.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, ANC Head of Elections, Mdumiseni Ntuli.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.